take our Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 6. I'll read verse 1, you'll join me on verse 2, and then drop out. I'll read verse 3, all the way through the passage that way. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read the first 6 verses responsively. And verse 6 will be our text verse for this morning's message. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in what word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And let's pray. Father, again, we come to you and we need you. Lord, none of us are perfect. We're all sinful. Lord, you asked us and told us to gather together in a church like this. Lord, never again will this exact crowd be assembled this way. You have a truth for us today. May we put aside our burdens, our thoughts, our problems. May we listen to you for the next few moments to find out what you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The Bible says here in Galatians chapter 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Communication has changed much through the last 6,000 years of history. You have to understand, communication is the basis of everything we do. You talk to one another, what you read, what you hear, what you say, what you experience. It's all based on one thing, and that one thing is the word communication. Early days, creation, everything was done by a spoken word. Then man began writing. Now, I'm not one of these people that believes in evolution. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. God gave man a brain. We didn't evolve from a lower species. Science has proved otherwise. And we're not going to debate that right now. But I believe man started writing virtually the same time that man was created. Say, how do you know that? Because God told Adam to name and to give names to all the animals. Have you ever tried to remember the names of everything in the world? Ain't no man in the world got a brain that good. We forget what we had for breakfast, let alone let's forget that. He had to write it down somewhere so he could remember what he had said before. So we've gone from spoken word to written word. They wrote on tablets of stone. Then they started writing on animal skins. Then we began writing on paper. Then publishing books. Then we had telegraph. We had phonograph. Then we had telephone. That started with telewoman. No. Then we had telephone. We've had televisions. We had radio. We had AM frequency, FM frequency. Now you have what they call satellite radio or Sirius. Then we got into the tape industry. I think they started with 8-track tapes. I do remember some of those. Say, what's an 8-track tape? Kids, that is a cassette tape, which is on steroids, okay? The only way to say it. Then we went from that to record albums. Those came first. Then you went to CDs, okay? There was a day when people didn't have a phone everywhere they went. There was a day when there used to be one telephone in the house. Usually it was either in the kitchen or the living room. And usually those two rooms were connected by a little wall, and it was on either side of that. And you had a cord on it about 8 foot long, one of those little curlicue little doojiggers things. And if you walked around far enough, you could stretch it out and make it about an extra foot longer or two. And everybody in the house that wanted to hear what you were saying could hear what you were saying. By the way, that's when things were a whole lot better. They used to have party lines. That means different people in the neighborhood had the same phone number you had, and they could pick up and listen to you talk, and you could pick up and listen to them talk, and I'm not for that at all, but I do remember some of those. There used to be a time where you didn't have phones in your car. Then I remember when they came out with something called the bag phone. You all know what I'm talking about? You carried this phone around in your car in this bag and plugged it in, and, you know, it was only the real wealthy that had one of those. You know, that was a Hollywood makeup type thing that only a few people had. Well, then the truckers got their CB radios. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Brother Brining's back there. He's grinning like a possum back there. I'm not going to ask him what he used to do with his. But then they came out with the cell phone. Then we've gone from the cell phone to the iPhones. Y'all remember black and white films and black and white television? Then we went to color television. We used to have this stupid little television. We used to have it when we went camping. It was only about, had like 12, 14-inch screen on that thing. And the picture tube on that thing started going out. And all of a sudden, you'd be watching something. Bloop! The picture was gone, but you could hear everything. I got so mad at that thing one day, my brother walked over and bam, hit that thing on top, and the picture came back. About 5-6 years, we had that stupid thing, and every time it got hot, you had to go over there and beat the top of that thing just to get the picture back on. Now, wait a minute. We went from black and white to color. Remember the old Polaroid Instamatic cameras? Shoot the picture, and out it came, and you got to wave that stupid stinky thing around till it dried enough to see what you took your picture of, to see if you got it or not. 35-millimeter cameras. We had digital cameras. Then we have camera phones. I remember when you used to pay about 16 cents for a stamp. That wasn't a postcard either. Now we have the mail. Now you have email. Then they have, I think they have iMail. You can tell I'm real technical, can't you? And then we went to something called texting. That means everybody knows what you're doing at all times. You just kind of push a button and there you go. Now you have Facebook and social networking and on and on and on and on the communication level goes in our world today. Communication has changed a lot. One thing about communication, though, that has never changed. You have to understand, the basic premise of communication is still the same. You have someone that has information that wants to get that information to someone else. That's what needs communicated. You have a transmitter and you have a receiver. The PA system right now is a classic picture of what communication is. In this little microphone, there's a little receiver there that hears my voice. It shoots it over to a box over there, translates that, pushes it through the wires to these two speakers, and shoots it back out at you. It receives my voice and then transmits it to you to get what's coming from this side of the microphone. That's exactly what communication is all about. Now, if the battery goes dead, if there's a broken wire, something breaks up in the communication system, we got a problem. So, we have to realize that communication is just like this PA system. Now, let me get to the real part of the message. Life is made up of relationships. Your whole life is nothing but a series of relationships. You have friendships, marriages, you have work relationships, you have church relationships, you have parent-child relationships, child-parent relationships. We can go on and on and on, but our whole life is a series of relationships. Some of you even have relationships with the police officers around. You do something wrong and they decide to meet and greet you with a piece of paper to say, hello, here I am, Merry Christmas. Now, wait a minute. At least that's what Brother Lowther told me. I don't know. Now, wait a minute. When it takes two people to communicate. It takes two people to communicate well to keep a relationship going well. You show me a relationship that does not communicate well, I'll show you a relationship that does not get very close. You show me people that argue and fuss and feud, I'll show you people that don't communicate well. Just because you say it louder doesn't mean you're communicating. Now, wait a minute. You have to have a transmitter and a receiver. Now, when there is a breakdown in communication, one of two things happens. Either the transmitter is not clear, or the receiver's not receiving it. Everybody doing okay? I know that if the PA's not working, one of two things is broke. The microphone or that box over there. That's all it could be. It's either the transmitter or it's the receiver. Now, listen to me very carefully. America's communication is bad. The world's communication is horrendous. And I am not on a political vendetta, but you see everywhere in the news the shutdown in our government right now. Most of it is a communication issue. You have one or more sides that are not willing to communicate. They just want to do what they want to do. By the way, most of the time they're not even listening to the people that put them there. So we have a communication issue. Now, listen to me. Let me build on this for a moment. Churches are floundering because of bad communication. You have churches all over America that struggle because of communication problems. Either the preacher does not communicate it well, or the people don't receive what he says well. It happens. Now, you go to where you are employed, where you work. Most of the problems at work are communication problems. Leadership doesn't listen to fellowship. Fellowship doesn't listen to leadership. You have leadership that tells fellowship what to do, and fellowship won't do it. You have a communication issue. It's amazing to me, the guy that works in the warehouse knows how to run the whole business of the people that produce the parts. The guy who never ran a popsicle stand knows how to run a multi-billion dollar corporation. Now, I think until you own it, you don't have the right to stand there and tell somebody you know how to run the whole thing. Just because you know your area better than others doesn't mean you know how to run the whole thing. So maybe it is we ought to get our communication back in line. Now, today, I want to help Grace Baptist Church and our people with our communication. By the way, I'm not talking about just as me, your pastor, and you, our church member. I mean help you individually with your communication. I believe most of the problems you face are communication problems. I really do. I really believe that God has a lot to say about communication, and I want to show them to you. First of all, number one, God wants us to be willing to communicate. You know that God says that he wants us to be willing to communicate? Take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 18, the Bible says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. God says we're supposed to be willing to communicate. I'll turn there. You need not turn there, but Hebrews chapter 13, just a few pages over, verse 16 says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Now look at me. Do you know that God wants you to communicate well? Can I tell you when my wife and I have been married 24 and a half years. When there's a small amount of tension, by the way, my wife and I don't argue. We don't fuss. We don't fight. 24 and a half years, I've never raised my voice to my wife. She's not raised her voice to me. Now, we disagree. Trust me. No two men and women would ever live 24 and a half years together and agree on everything. Matter of fact, we rarely agree. We see life from two different angles. But guess what? You don't have to fight about it. Do you ever have a knockdown drag out? We haven't yet. Now, it could happen today. Hold on. But may I say this, it happens because I remember we were engaged. I had to go meet with her pastor, and she and I met with him. Brother Les Hobbins, he's a little Canadian guy, pastored Lewis Avenue Baptist Church in Temperance, Michigan. He was about that tall. My wife is taller than he was. Okay, I'm not kidding. He used to be a hockey player. He's only that tall. I think he played in the junior leagues as an adult. But Brother Hobbins sat us down, and he said, I'm going to teach you one thing about marriage. One thing, that's it. He said, if you never learn anything else but one word, communicate. He said, be the greatest thing for your marriage. He spent the next hour teaching us about communication. By the way, a very wise man. A very wise man. Now, can I tell you the first thing about communication, though? You have to be willing to communicate. This microphone has no choice but to communicate. It has died to its own will. You know that I could take this microphone, this PA system, take it to a rock concert somewhere, and it would communicate bad as much as it communicates good. Because it has no will of its own. It's there just to communicate whatever comes across. Can I tell you something? Husbands and wives, be willing to communicate with one another. Be willing to die to what you want so bad that you're willing to communicate. Hey, parent, be willing to communicate with your kids. Daddies, just because you told them what to do doesn't mean they understand what they're supposed to do. You might understand it, but that doesn't mean they understand it. You got about 20, 30 year head start on them. You know what you're thinking. They don't even think. Well, they did it before. Yeah, but their attention span's like a gnat. Okay? Have you ever done something and then had to go back later and do it again and couldn't remember what you did? I'm not talking about just walking across the room and say, what did I come over here for? Though some of us live in that world, right? By the time you got back, you forgot why you were there. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Just because you said it doesn't mean they received it right. There are times in my communication that I have to break it down a little farther. I taught a lot in schools and colleges. And there are times I've got this concept in my brain. I'm going to teach it. I've taught it and found out it went over like a lead balloon and nobody understood one thing I said. It was like Charlie Brown's teacher. Now, it made sense to me, but it didn't make sense to them. And it was like, uh-oh. I got to go back and fix that. I remember giving a test to a group of students one day, and virtually every student missed the same question. You know what that told me as a teacher? I blew it. I threw the question out. I went back and retaught that subject so they understood it and rewrote the question so that they could understand it. It wasn't their fault. It was my failure to communicate it well to where they understood it. Now, you're always going to have one rockhead and the group's going to miss it no matter what. But, Brother Ron, were you volunteering for that one? Okay, just was checking it out there. Now, wait a minute. Not everybody's going to get it. But they ought to get the majority of what you say. Children, sometimes you need to be willing to slow down and talk to mom and dad what you're thinking. There's a reason sometimes children want to argue. They want to get their point across to you. Can I tell you something? We know more about life than you do. Hey, teenagers, trust me. This preacher's seen more of life than you have. I know a little bit more about it than you do. The worst thing for you to worry about right now is dating. Wait till you get to college. Wait till you get to be an adult. Enjoy being a kid. Life gets complicated enough. You don't need to make it worse. You don't need the drama. You don't need the pressure. You don't need all that stuff. Just wait. Trust me. You won't die before you're 17 if you never had a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Matter of fact, you'll be happier. You have to be willing to communicate. As an employee, I think the greatest workers in this area ought to be the members of Grace Baptist Church. I think you ought to be the most congenial. I think that you ought to be the hardest working. I think you ought to be the most pliable workers there are. Can I tell you why? Because you're supposed to know how to communicate. You're supposed to be willing to communicate with people. Folks, I love people. Now, I'm not as good with them as many, but I enjoy life. About 6 o'clock this morning, I went down to Sheets to get my first cup of coffee. Amen. I walked over and I was whistling and grabbed a cup and I was filling it up. Some guy leaned over and he said, "You're sure happy?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am. It's Sunday." He said, "Yeah, and it's only 6 o'clock in the morning. What are you happy about?" I said, I reached in my pocket. I said, "See that key right there? In about 4 minutes, I'm going to be down the road. I'm going to open up the house of God, and the people of God are going to come there in a few hours, and we're going to watch God work." I said, "That's what I'm happy about. How come you're so grumpy?" He turned around and walked away from me. He saw me up at the counter. He could seem like, "Okay, stay away from that guy." I was having fun. Man, I'm enjoying life. Can I tell you something? I think you ought to be able to communicate. By the way, he understood what I was saying. He didn't doubt what I was saying. You know, don't get mad at the doctor when you go there and he doesn't find everything that's wrong with you because you didn't tell him what the symptoms were. Okay, now I went from preaching to meddling, didn't I? You know, I watch people get mad at a doctor. Their arm hurts, but they never told him that their arm hurts, and they're mad at him because he didn't fix their arm. "Well, he didn't tell me about what was wrong with my arm." "Did you ask him?" "No." "Well, how's he supposed to know it hurts?" Now, folks, listen to me. If you don't tell somebody all the symptoms, how can they fix it? Husbands, she's not supposed to be able to read your mind. For some of you, it's just a blank page. Yeah, Brother Smith, food, okay? The only word written on that thing, food, fixes it all, amen? Now, wait a minute. A successful marriage is willing to talk and listen. Fellas, there's times sometimes she just needs to talk. She doesn't need you to solve anything. She just wants you to listen. Now, I know that's not in our makeup. You're thinking, okay, she's told me what it looked like. She told me what color it was. She told me how it felt. She told me how it smelled. She told me all these things about it. What's the problem? What's wrong with it? What do we need to fix here? She just wanted to tell you about it. Quit trying to give her three points in a poem on how to fix that thing and get going. Sometimes she just wants to talk to somebody that has a bigger body than that's not going to spit up on her. And she's not going to have to change his diaper. A successful marriage is willing to listen as well as talk. Sometimes you got to be willing to talk about things that might be uncomfortable. That doesn't mean you do it in front of everybody either. A successful parent-child relationship or child-parent relationship comes by being willing to listen to your kids. I got a 22-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 15-year-old going on 20. Wait a minute. My kids will tell you, Dad has his faults, and a lot of them, trust me. But Dad will listen to them. Dad will listen. Now, sometimes I listen and I override it and say, now it's time for you to listen to me. It doesn't matter what you thought there. You're about to screw up. Let me help you. I do have that veto power to say, not smart, not wise. One of my older children recently had a question for me. And they said, Dad, need your advice. I said, I'll give it. And I said, you've asked me as an adult, I'll give you my advice. I know this will work if you listen to me, but if you don't, I'll love you anyway. I'll help you anyway. They took my advice. It was amazing. A couple days later, he texted me back and said, Dad, it worked. Like he was shocked. I laughed my head off. I thought, son, I've faced that 1,000 times, no less, 1,000 times in my life. I know the formula, trust me. I know exactly what you need to do. I couldn't sit there and demand that of him, though. You see, a successful parent-child relationship involves back and forth being able to talk and transmit and receive. A successful work relationship requires the same thing. Do you know you need to be willing to tell your boss something's wrong? As long as you're willing to do it wrong if he overrides you. Everybody doing okay? Now, I'm not talking about doing something immorally illegal. Okay? If you have to do something immorally illegal at work, quit your job and find an honest job. I'm not saying, ladies, if he's asking you to do things that are immoral, you tell him no and find a place to work that's honest. But I was an assistant pastor for 24 years. Do you think I agreed with every pastor I worked with, every decision they made? No. But you'll never find out what those things were that I didn't. There were times I would be working with my pastor and say, I don't think that's going to work. Why not? Well, I see this, I see this, I see this, I see that. I don't think that's going to work. There were times they would say, ooh, good point. Let's back up and look at this. There's other times I've watched my pastor say, doesn't matter, we're still doing this. Guess what? I jumped in 100%. And if it failed, guess whose fault it was? It's the leader's, not mine. Can I tell you something? The company that you work for, they know more about what you're doing than you do. And if it fails, guess what? As long as you obey, you're okay. I think you ought to try to improve it, yes. But I've learned something about life. Everybody tries to keep reinventing the wheel. I've watched it over and over. I've watched people take over schools, classrooms, businesses. And it's amazing. You go through a process of, okay, did that, that didn't work. I did that, that works. I did that, that really didn't work. Throw that over here. That doesn't work. Put it over here. And you change leadership. You know what they go back to? What you threw out years ago, they try it again. Have you ever noticed Hollywood's doing that? They're trying to remake all of the successful movies of 40, 50, 60 years ago. They're perverting them and changing them and making them modern and trashing them out, making them vile. They took something that was successful to try to make more money off of it again. They're trying to reinvent the wheel. You know, businesses go through that same process. The fashion industry goes through the same process. You know what I'm talking about, fellas. The tie that your wife gave you 20 years ago, you can pull it back out now and wear it because it's back in style again. And since you didn't wear it then, it looks brand new now. I will not wear those ones, though, that are about that wide and go all the way across your chest. Okay? I refuse that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. Now, church members get mad and leave churches because they think they heard the preacher say something he didn't say. They think they heard somebody in the church say something they didn't say. Can I tell you something? Come ask me what I said. I'll tell you. Before you trot off mad, why don't you come find out what I really said? Quit assuming because somebody said, somebody said, somebody said, somebody said I said something. Come ask the source. It's amazing what gets back to me that I said. Hello. I've had people say, well, you said this in this sermon. I've gone back and listened to it and said, Show me where. Now, some of it is honestly somebody not receiving it well. And by the way, if I said something wrong, I'll man up and tell you I did wrong. You all remember about 10, 11 months ago, I lost some of the church records. I had to get up and say, guess what, folks? It wasn't my wife. It was me. She hit him, and I threw him away. She hit him so good, I didn't know what they were. I was just being obedient. Pick up the trash. I picked it up. I threw it away. I didn't know it wasn't trash. Now, wait a minute. I'm not afraid to man up to my mistakes. Can I tell you something? We just need to be willing to communicate back and forth. Number two, evil communication destroys. Evil communication destroys. For lack of time, let me read a verse to you. But Colossians chapter 3, if I can find it, it's there. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. God said we are to put away or put out filthy communication. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says this. Listen to this. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I can prove to you that the communication is poor in America. Look at the manners of our generation. Look at the manners of our generation. I was at Sheetz this morning, and the young man that was I was paying my money to for my coffee, he said, that'll be $1.47. I said, yes, sir, here you go. He said, oh, you don't have to call me, sir. He said, you're older than I. I said, shut up. Now, I looked at him, and I said, no, sir. I said, that's just called respect. I said, you're right. You're young enough to be my son. And he was. But I still called him sir. Say why? Because that's the way it's supposed to be. There was a day in America where we had good manners. There was a day when you walked into a room or into a bus or into some kind of vehicle, and there was a lady standing, that a man would stand and give her his seat. Now, the women stand up so the men can sit down. I was at Dulles Airport here a couple years ago. I was flying somewhere. I got on that little tram after you get through the place where they pat you down and find out that you're not a terrorist. I got through that thing, got my shoes back on, got my belt back on, got my clothes back on, got in that little tram. And it was early in the morning. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning. I had one of those ungodly hour flights, you know. And there was an older couple, and it was obvious the man was struggling with his health. But this thing was jam-packed. And there was an older lady helping him, and I stood. I said, ma'am, I was just across from them. And I had my Bible out. I was working. I had my briefcase open. I threw everything back in real quick, and I stood up. I grabbed a hold of the silver bar standing there. I said, ma'am, you can sit right here. I said, it's not next to him, but you're right across from him. Will that help you? She said, oh, no, that's okay. I'll stand right here. I said, no, ma'am, you won't. She said, no, I'm fine. I said, ma'am, you don't understand. I said, if I don't get up and stand here, I said, my dad lives over in West Virginia. He's going to come here and slap me upside the head. I said, there's no way I'm, as an adult man, going to let my dad slap me upside the head because you didn't sit down. I said, sit there right now. I watched that older gentleman. He cracked a smile. He said, tell your dad thanks. He said, didn't think there were young people like that in America anymore. I said, could you say that again? I said, I don't get called young very much. Can I tell you something? That used to be normal. God said, evil communication corrupts good manners. You know, I can tell what kind of music a young person listens to by their manners. I can tell you what kind of friends a young person has because of their manners. I can tell you what kind of music adults listen to by their manners. You know, the more evil the communication, the poorer the manners. I can tell you how much time you spend on social networking with the wrong kind of people. The music, the friends. Let me say it this way. I can show you, I can tell you who in here listens to the news the most. Oh, it was me. The world's coming to an end. I'm not going to get a paycheck. And boy, this everything just going. You've listened to way too much news. Way too much corrupt communication. Everybody doing okay? You listen to enough bad teaching, I'll show you. Go to the average secular university in America and look how bad the manners are. Boy. Look at the average TV show and look how bad the manners are in America. Look at the video games your kids play. And you wonder why they talk to you the way they do. We murder babies by the millions. And we wonder, and our streets are like... worse than a war zone in our big cities. And we wonder what the problem is. I'm not on a vendetta, but listen to this statement. The problem isn't a gun. The problem isn't a knife. The problem isn't a ball bat. The problem is we have evil, wicked communication. Yes, sir. The answer is not take the gun out of the honest people's hands. The answer is... let's get back to righteousness, godly living, and communicating well, and respect for life. Respect for authority. It used to be that the teacher paddled the students. Now, if the teacher looks at the student the wrong way, the teacher goes to jail. When I went to school, if you got paddled at school, you got paddled at home, and they didn't ask why, you just got it. Say, well... we are warping your psyche. My dad never called it a psyche, but he warped it more than once. Believe me. And I came out okay. We have no respect for our country. God, help us in our nation. Whatever happened to America standing up for America? Not letting people wash their cars with an American flag and burning a flag and turning it upside down and all this other mess that's going on. We have public universities that call it art and they put an American flag on the floor and let the students urinate on it and call it art. Let's go play capture the flag and we win. If I go to a ball game and somebody's sitting down or they got the hat on in the national anthem's played, they're going to get jerked up and their hat's going to get ripped off because you're going to stand in my country. It's not going to be an option in our classroom like it is now. Number three, I better hurry up here. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is the one I'll read to you. It's not my life's verse or the one that I sign with my name often, but I could. Philippians 4:4 says, it's not Philippians, but it says that we are to communicate with people's afflictions. We are to communicate with people's afflictions. Can I tell you something? When somebody hurts, can you communicate to them that you hurt too? A little while ago I announced about Brother Esposito and his church. I think, Brother Rogers, I told you this week. I said, the first thing I wanted to do is get on an airplane, fly to Long Beach, and walk into Long Beach Memorial Hospital and see what I could do. That was me trying to communicate with someone's affliction. I really did. Brother Taylor walked in this morning and told me that his sister just passed away just hours before, and my heart broke for him. But there he was, opening the door in the rain for you. Warm handshake. Smile on his face. Say, what was he doing? He was communicating. Wait a minute. My heart hurts for him. That's his sister. Can I tell you something? We need to learn to slow down and communicate with people that are hurting. People need to let you know when they're hurting. Wife in a marriage, if your husband's hurt you, you need to let him know that he's hurt you. Now, there's an appropriate way to do that. But may I say this, how can he know he has hurt you unless you tell him? Well, he ought to know. Sometimes we don't think that way. Men don't think in terms of hurt like a lady does. A man doesn't get hurt like a lady gets hurt. I'm going to tell on Brother York here. The other night we were leaving church and one of his little clan was running ahead and took a nosedive on the concrete out there. He starts laughing. And I'm thinking, Mrs. York wasn't laughing. I just looked at Brother Walter. He says, oh, I'm so sorry. He got it, amen? Teaching him how to communicate better. He picked the kid up, took him over to the van. I said, tell him to put dirt on it. Makes it all better. Rub dirt on that thing. Now, wait a minute. We joke about it, and he wasn't seriously injured. The child, Brother York, got injured later. Can I tell you something? Every once in a while, you need to tell somebody you're hurt. There's ladies in here, you've lost babies. And that it will happen again, unfortunately. And I may get up in front of our church and say, so-and-so's lost their baby. Not to hurt you, but so that you don't have 150, 200 people bombarding you, asking how everything's going, so you got to relive it again. In an effort to help you, I'll curb it off and train our folks how to handle that, so you don't have to face that all the time. There's times that we need to know you're hurting so that we don't hurt more. You know, there's times that you can be jesting with somebody and all of a sudden you crossed the line, didn't know it. You got to be careful. There's times people are in physical pain. This kind of weather, believe me, I understand it. You know, you boys and girls don't understand. When you're running around this auditorium, you make the older people nervous. They're afraid to get up and move for fear you're going to run them over. Now, you're just being a kid. I understand that. But you got to look at somebody else's needs. They're not as stable as they used to be. Now, listen very carefully. You don't need to get upset when people don't know your needs if you didn't tell them. I'm going to be honest with you. There's people that get mad because I didn't visit them in the hospital, but they never told me they were at the hospital. Like I'm supposed to go to every hospital every day to see if any of my folks are there. Now, if you're going to the hospital, let me know. That's fine. And if you don't want visitors, that's fine. I understand that. Believe me, I understand that. You know, there's nothing worse than being the monkey in the cage at the hospital. You know, come look at me. You know, nobody likes that. I understand that. Okay? But may I say this? If you don't tell somebody, don't get mad because nobody showed up. Did you tell anyone? Well, I told so-and-so to tell so-and-so to tell you. That doesn't work. Now, I say this. Let's be careful with folks. Well, there's ladies in here. You've had babies since we've been here. I don't go see a lady the day she has a baby. I'll wait 24 hours at least. Say why. I think that's appropriate. Ladies, you tell me that you're about to have surgery, I'm not going to say, what kind? I don't do that. I learned a long time ago. Don't ask that question. Okay. It's not that I don't care. There's just some information I don't need to know. I might say, how long's your recovery going to be? Amen, Mrs. Brinklow? About as far as I'm going. Say why? Because I'd like to help. But I'm not asking, what part they're cutting on. Say why. Doesn't matter. That's called being appropriate. Amen. That's called communicating. But if you don't tell me, don't get mad at me because nobody helped you. How are we to know? Okay? Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
All right. You know, the same is true with the child. Be careful you don't get upset with them. Somebody sent me something. I showed it to my wife last night. We got to giggling about it. They emailed me this story, why parents drink. Dad comes home and goes to his son's room, and there's a note on the bed, and it says, Dad, I just ran off, and my girlfriend and I are getting married. She's pregnant. Pray for us that we find a cure to AIDS. I realize we're only 15, but we'll make it. It goes through this long series of things, thinking, man, this dad's got it bad right now. And then it said, P.S. None of this is true. I'm over at my friend's house. But I figured it was a good way to tell you it's better than a C on my report card that's in the center desk drawer. Call me when it's safe to come home. I thought, didn't end where I thought it was going. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? That shows me a child who is afraid to communicate with a parent. Now, it's awkward. Boys and girls, sometimes it's awkward to tell mom and dad you got a problem, you can't figure it out. And every once in a while, they're not going to react the way you think they should react. I understand that. We're not perfect either. But can I tell you something? Keep talking to them. Keep talking to them. Keep talking to them. Keep talking to them. Say, I feel like I'm beating my head against a wall at work, Brother Bush. That's okay. Just keep talking to them. Keep obeying. Keep working. Can I tell you something? The lost world doesn't communicate very well at all. When they do, it's usually evil. Can I tell you why? Because they're only transmitting and they're not receiving from their God. Is all they are is a big transmitter, and they won't receive anything. They want their way. They won't listen to God. It's my way. God doesn't exist. We don't need God. We don't need anything about Christianity. We don't need the Bible. We don't need this. We're just going to talk about everything we know. And they just start blabbing and 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 blabbing. Guess what? Their way's not working real well. You got to be able to receive from God to understand a little more about God. Say, well, how do we do that? It's called trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. The reason you can't receive it before you get saved is because you have a dead receiver called a dead spirit. And when you get saved, your spirit is reborn. It's rebirthed inside of you. And you are now able to receive what God has for you spiritually. That book does not make sense to the lost world. You're right, because they don't have a receiver. The moment you get the receiver in your life, guess what? It starts making sense. You say, well, that's not real deep. It's deeper than anything you can think through. Well, I just can't figure out how that works. If you had a God you could figure out, you'd be greater than that God. Who would want a God like that anyway? Why don't you just receive the receiver so that you can begin communicating with your God? By the way, that's what makes life go a little bit easier. It doesn't take all your... I'm not one of these health and wealth, gospel, prosperity, gospel people. Oh, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. That's nowhere in the Bible. The very one they preach about, they crucified. Guess what? All his problems didn't go away and he was sinless. That's a lie. But I do know this. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to face the same problems you're going to face, but guess what? I got somebody going through them with me. I got the Holy Spirit inside to receive the message from heaven to give so that I can get through this thing. Why don't you just do what God asked you to do and receive the Holy Spirit? By the way, that doesn't mean you get up and start jibber-jabber and Yamaha, Suzuki and all the other words, jibber-jabber, and flop on the floor like a fish out of water. That's a show. That's not spiritual. It does mean that you realize that you can't get to heaven on your own. And that God provided the way for you to get to heaven. You say, what is that way? That Jesus Christ left heaven, was born of a virgin. The only one to ever be born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified and shed his blood at Calvary for you and for me. Guess what? It didn't stop there. Calvary wasn't the last stop for him. He was crucified as your lamb, but he got up 3 days and three nights later as the high priest and took his blood to the mercy seat in heaven, sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat and said, it is finished, so that you could have salvation. And the veil was rent in the temple from top to bottom so that man had access to God directly. That means the transmitter and the receiver were in sync with one another to work. Can I tell you something? That's how you get the receiver. You trust what Jesus did, not what you do. It's not a church membership. It's not a baptistry. It's not living a good life. Those are things that you do. That's you transmitting. It's receiving what he did for you. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I would ask you a question, and I'd ask you to be respectful of each other just for a moment. But who would say, Brother Bush, I am 100% sure that if I died right now, I don't have any doubt in my mind. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know for sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure. But I sure would like to know. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not come to you. I'll not embarrass you any more than the folks that just raised their hands. But who would say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right, there's one. There's another. And some are little hands, and I understand that. Maybe it is you need to get yourself in tune with God. Maybe you need to quit transmitting and you need to start receiving. Maybe you need to just humble yourself out and say, okay, not my will, but thine be done, Lord. I don't know what your need is, but God does. Maybe you've been saved and you've never been baptized. Today be a good time. By the way, baptism won't take anybody to heaven. Just showing everybody else you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe it is you need to join this church. That's fine. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, we'll have you. That's no problem.